Well, it is a joy to be with you here today, and so bear with me while I adapt to the situation. There are four scriptures in the New Testament that speak about spiritual gifts, and help me, what are they? What are some of these? Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, in two different spots of 1 Corinthians 12, and the other ones may be a little more obscure, 1 Peter 4. So, little memory aid, 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, the 12s and the 4s will help you a little bit there in thinking about that. So I'm just going to ask you to turn to 1 Peter 4 and we'll take a look at that and launch from there. You're there before I am, aren't you? 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Notice this, that every man has received a gift. And this gift is the Greek word charisma. It's a divine endowment. It's a gift. It's not earned. And it's really God's gift. It's divine. It's not human. And we receive this gift, or not human derived. Even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. So if you and I don't give a care, we may still be able to serve God and work for God, but it's also true that we can sharpen it by identifying and then utilizing our gift. And if we can use our gifts, the second purpose, so the first purpose of this session is that we learn to identify our gift, or these sessions, I should say. And secondly, that we can relate wisely and wholesomely with those around us who have different gifts. And that we can live in a way that pleases God and blesses others. Because every gift will have its temptation to pride. And so you and I introduce this to say that we need to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then it says, if anyone speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So there are two classes of gifts now in Peter's writing, speaking and serving. Ministering and serving are interchangeable words here, synonyms. And so when we go to some of the other scriptures, we'll see that some of them are speaking gifts and some of them are serving gifts. So this is the introduction. I go next to Romans 12. So as I said, we want to identify and utilize our gifts and live wisely and comfortably with those around us. And I read this scripture, and we recognize that it's a divine gratuity, a spiritual endowment, and an unearned gift. We're called to minister it as a steward. I want to give a recommendation and some credit. This isn't all of my study, but this book, Discovering Our God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. And we have, so I was influenced in 50 years ago by Institute in Basic Life Principles in learning about some of these gifts. And then I've taught at the local high school and in churches and at Bible school in various times. I thank you for giving me a chance to share some of my enthusiasm for this topic. In Romans 3, verses 5 to 7, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Join me in reading. "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So, two things that I pick out of here, and one is that we don't think more highly than we ought to think. We need to think properly. We need to think soberly. We also, I think, are called not to say, "I don't care," because thinking soberly and properly about this will help us to exercise the gifting that God has given us. And the second thing that I notice is that we are all one body, and it helps us to think outside of ourselves. We fit together. And it helps us to understand and appreciate our families and our business partners and our co-ministers, because we are not built the same and don't always think the same, even though we are one body. So thinking corporately helps us in this study. Let's continue on in this passage, and I will read on the left and you can read the last seven verses here. "If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. One of the things that I notice here is that these verses seem to tie well to these seven gifts. Prophets need to be sure to love rather than just be judgmental. They need to, yes, they do well at abhorring that which is evil and clinging to what is good. That is their nature. The servers need to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, and they do this in actual leather. They give preference to one another in honor. Teachers need to be diligent in their research and fervent in spirit. Sometimes teachers are just a little too stuffy and need to the fervor of the Lord in serving him. And then the exhorters, they rejoice in hope. They give words of hope to the people that they minister to. And they need to persevere in tribulation and be devoted to prayer to be effective. The givers contribute to the needs of the saints and practice hospitality. The leaders or rulers need to learn to bless those that criticize and persecute and not curse. And he who shows mercy is good at rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. The fact that there's this kind of cohesion in this letter gives some of us thought that this list is quite complete and a good unit to think of for how the giftings are scattered in the church. Whether we all agree on exactly those kinds of things isn't my objectives, but let us continue on with thinking about these seven gifts. So the gift of prophecy is gifted to proclaim truth and perceive truth. And they have the motivation to reveal unrighteous motives or actions by presenting God's truth. Serving is ministering to the needs of others, demonstrating love in meeting practical needs. Teachers clarify, teachers search out, they validate and present to truth. I'm going to keep saying these kinds of things. Write what you can, and I'm fine with that. But I also want you to be able to realize that this will build on itself. Exhortation, counseling others, and encouraging, stimulating the faith of others. Givers share their assets and hospitality. They have the motivation to entrust their personal assets to others for the furtherance of their ministry. And then the gift of ruling. This gifting is great in coordinating groups and organizing things, and they have the ability to think broadly in achieving the common good. The mercy givers are great at comforting, empathizing, and compassion. They have the motivation to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. So in summary, I will say that some of these words are going to be repeated and used interchangeably. Prophecy, proclaiming. Prophecy and perceiving. Serving and ministering. Teaching and searching out, validating and presenting truth. Giving would be the sharing of assets and hospitality, ruling, administration, organization, facilitating, leading, what I've all said. These are all interchangeable concepts here. And mercy, those that show mercy are great empathizers. So sometimes I will use the term empathizing or compassion and so on. So various definitions and synonyms that are going to be in here. Let me ask you, as you look at this list, you can sense when people have hurt feelings. You react to those who are insensitive to others' feelings. You can discern genuine love. You seem to attract people who tell you their problems. You find it difficult to be firm or decisive with people. You tend to take up offenses for those you love. You often wonder why God allows people to suffer. Which one of the seven would score here? What? Mercy. You're right. Or maybe you feel like this. You notice the practical needs of others and enjoy meeting them. You're willing to neglect your own work to help others. You can remember the likes and dislikes of others. You can usually detect ways to serve before anyone else can. You will even use your own funds to get a job done quickly. You do not mind doing jobs by yourself. You find it difficult to say no to those who ask for help. What? What? Giving could be related, but it's not the one I'm thinking of. Serving. Yes, indeed. Notice this willingness to get in there and do things. Does this describe you? You motivate people to become what you see they could be. You like to give counsel in logical steps of action. You can usually discern a person's level of spiritual maturity. You like to see the facial responses of those you counsel. You often take family time to counsel others. You enjoy giving examples from the lives of others. You soon give up on those who do not follow your counsel. Exhortation. Right on. Or maybe this one. You can visualize the final result of a major undertaking. You enjoy coordinating the efforts of many to reach a goal. You can break down a large task into achievable goals. You're able to delegate assignments to others. You see people as resources that can be used to get a job done. You require loyalty in those who are under your supervision. You can encourage your workers and inspire them to action. What? Yes, indeed. This is the organizational gift or ruling or administration. Do these statements fit you? You can see actions, you see actions as either right or wrong. You can quickly discern a person's character. You feel a responsibility to correct those who do wrong. You separate yourself from those who refuse to repent of evil. You let people know how you feel about important issues. You are quick to judge yourself when you fail. You are willing to do right even if it means suffering alone for it.
Prophecy.
What?
Prophecy.
Prophecy. Right. Very good. Thank you. Or maybe you identify with this. You want to make sure that statements are true and accurate. You desire to gain as much knowledge as you can. You react to people who make unfounded statements. You enjoy spending hours doing research on a subject. You like to tell others as many facts as you can on a topic. You pay close attention to words and phrases. You tend to be silent on a subject until you check it out. Teaching, thank you. Or does this describe you? You are frugal with money for yourself and your family. You enjoy investing money in the ministries of other people. You can make money through wise investments. You react negatively to pressure appeals for money. You enjoy giving to needs which others tend to overlook. You desire to give gifts of high quality. You enjoy knowing that your gifts were answers to prayer. Giving indeed. Well, thank you for that. Maybe that'll prime the pump a little bit for us, but I want to go now to the gift of perceiving. So this is the outline for the week. I want to, in this session, now give some expansion on prophecy, this afternoon on serving and teaching, and tomorrow the first two, exhortation and giving, and in the second session, the last two, which should be ruling and mercy. We'll just go by the scriptural order, not because the first ones are more important than the others. And then on Friday morning, I want to wrap up with give some breadth on some of the other lists of gifts in the scriptures. And if you were hoping that I would teach on, say, the sign gifts, I'm disappointing you. I could have gone that direction too. I've preached messages on tongues, on healings, on miracles, and such. Those are what I call the sign gifts. But I will do some of that kind of wrap up things on Friday. So if you can hang with me. Will now grab hold of the gift of prophecy or perceiving. A perceiver is one who readily perceives, prays about, proclaims, and promotes the will of God. So the gift of perceiving, these people not only perceive, but they pray, they promote, and they proclaim the will of God. And sometimes people operate in a partial understanding of this and don't really pray like they ought to. They're pretty good at proclaiming the truth, but they need to develop the other part. The gift of prophecy motivates one to reveal unrighteous motives or actions by proclaiming God's truth. And prophets can be very persuasive. They can speak, I don't know for sure which gift that Brother Elmer has, but he was pretty persuasive this morning, and he was quite a clear proclaimer of truth. Now, he may come along and say, yeah, that's partly me, and this is common, that people recognize they have a couple of gifts and all. But let me just, I'm sorry if I singled you out a little too much there. So let me move on in giving some characteristics and problems of the perceiver. Perceivers quickly and accurately identify good and evil and hate evil. They are spokesmen for righteousness and just causes, and people that do that are frequently perceivers. Their giftedness equips them to be bold and outspoken without regard for public opinion or their own reputation. A 10-year-old boy was somewhat overweight and becoming concerned about it. One day he asked his mother what he could do to lose weight. She explained that sugar was the biggest culprit and that cutting out desserts would definitely help him. Well, having the gift of perception, he made eating sugars enemy number one, and he determined to rid his diet of this evil once and for all. Over the next few months, his weight dropped, and he became slim and trim. Even at birthday parties, he refused to eat ice cream or cake. For years, he continued to take this stand, and he would not budge. This kind of response is very characteristic of one with the gift of prophecy. Secondly, he easily perceives the character of individuals and groups. Like John the Baptist, he didn't need to ask questions of the group of Pharisees. When they came out to observe him baptizing, he called them, "You brood of vipers." John sensed their critical, condemning hearts. And perceivers can easily get the feel of individuals and group through this intuitive gifting that they have, this gift of perception. The third thing, perceivers may have only a few or no close friendships. Often perceivers, as they go through their childhood with only one or two good friends, or maybe none at all, some people worry about this. Some people just look at it as it's okay, God made them this way. But most often it's the parents who get overly concerned, while the children feel comfortable in their aloneness. Because, well, one classmate steals from others and another one is mean and another one tells the lies. He just doesn't like being around them because it violates God's standard and his of right and wrong. So perceivers may be alone, and many times they may be okay with that. Fourthly, perceivers spend a lot of time in the Word. They love to study the Bible and find that God speaks to them through specific scriptures. I was pleased to hear the scriptures that were used in the bedrock of the message earlier this morning. And then notice that they boldly operate on scriptural principles. One mother shared how her perceiving teenager keeps her honest. One day I was talking on the phone to a friend who wanted to borrow a utility trailer. Feeling inwardly irritated because this person was always borrowing things, I made up an excuse. "Surely the trailer's being used right now." "Or sorry," she said. "Mom," my daughter said in a shocked tone of voice after I hung up, "the trailer's just sitting there. It's not being used. We're supposed to give to those who ask of us and not turn away from those who would borrow from us." Well, the daughter was right. So the mother called her back, and feeling very reproved, she told her the trailer was available. Perceivers are people of principle in all of life, whether it's business or personal relationships. They're the true standard bearers of the church. In the sixth place, perceivers grieve deeply over the sins of others. So I want to read a little story from Don and Katie's book about a lady perceiver. an assistant pastor's wife, a perceiver we will call Nancy, looked up at the end of the service as the senior pastor was leaving the pulpit and heard God clearly speak to her that this man was involved in adultery with a certain woman in the church. Deeply grieved over the situation, Nancy went home and interceded for them both. For days she wept before God, pleading with him to change the pastor's heart, to change the woman's heart, to bring them both under conviction of their sin, and to stop the affair. After a week of earnest daily prayer, the Lord told Nancy he wanted her to go and confront the woman. "How did you find out?" the startled woman asked. "God revealed it to me," Nancy replied. "He wants you to end the affair." "Well, I won't," the woman snapped back. "Stay out of my life." Nancy went back home, and for another week she prayed and wept. At the end of the second week, the Lord told her to go again and confront the woman. It was not a pleasant prospect, yet Nancy was obedient. Still, the woman refused to listen. At that point, Nancy reported, the burden abruptly lifted from her shoulders. There was still a human grief for the situation, but the godly grief and burden was lifted from her. God calls upon perceivers to intercede, but the free will of the sinner can still thwart his will. We would like to report a happy ending to the story, but tragically sin took its course. Two families were destroyed, and many friends and church members wounded and disillusioned, some even falling away in shock and bitterness. Brothers and sisters, we need to guard against Satan's temptations, knowing that we are tempted like these temptations are common to men. 7, intercession. This is perhaps the most crucial characteristic of the perceiver. One perceiver said that about 90% of his ministry is devoted to intercessory prayer. Another perceiver said candidly, "Perceivers should be slow to speak, but quick to pray." So if perceivers can catch this vision, it will help their ministry. 8, strong opinions. Sunday school classes with a handful of perceivers can be challenging because perceivers do not always agree. Needless to say, there will not be any lukewarm discussions. But God wants to lead people to maturity by making them open to the opinions of others. So let's not quit Sunday school classes in despair, but pursue growth alongside the truth. I don't have time now today to go into expansion. So we notice at the bottom here that there are some problems for the perceiver, and maybe it's already kind of been bleeding through in the things that have been said and presented before in the characteristics, but perceivers can be judgmental and blunt, and we already saw it in the example of John the Baptist. Well, a lady came up to Katie Fortune after a seminar and said in a huff, "Well, I am a perceiver according to the testing, but I'm not an intercessor." "Have you been called to intercede?" Katie asked. "Well, I really don't know," she replied, "but I don't have time for that. If I find I can get things done so much faster if I go to the right person and confront him with what he's doing wrong." You can get the job done faster than God can? As a matter of fact, sometimes I can. He takes so long. "You must always start with prayer," Katie urged her, "and only go to someone if the Lord tells you to. If you're not careful, you could become a critical person that nobody is going to like." Well, a couple of friends overheard this conversation, and they told Privately, they told Katie, she's already that way. Lots of people can't stand her now. Well, that night, the Lord dealt with her. She couldn't sleep for a long time. The next morning, she said to Katie, Katie, last night God told me that he had called me to intercession a long time ago, but that I had been refusing to listen. I realized I've been making a mess of things. Well, since then, she's grown as an intercessor and has become sensitive rather than blunt, and people love her now. You see, no one likes to be told by someone else that he should change. But when you give the problem to God, he can speak directly to the person's heart. He can surmount walls of resistance that we can't get past. Obviously, there's a balance here, because sometimes God does want us to go and confront too. But if it's preceded and bathed in prayer, it has a much better chance. Perceivers can forget to praise partial progress. You can understand that, can't you? That perceivers want it all the way up here to God's righteous standard. But perceivers need to also learn to say, good job, you took a great step there. Now let's take the next one, and so on. And perceivers can be intolerant of opinions and views different from his own. You know, it's just plainly true that they may often be right, or certainly have a part of what's right, but there are many facets to truth, and somebody else might have a little different take on it, and it would be better if perceivers could learn, and when they do, it is better, that taking the bigger look is the wiser path. And perceivers, because of some of these challenges, can struggle with self-image problems. And since perceivers have an inner drive to do what's right, they become introspective and readily are aware of some of their shortcomings, so they're quick to judge themselves as inadequate. And of all the motivational gifts, these people seem most relieved when they discover that the things they've wrestled with internally are indicative of a divinely ordained giftedness rather than a testimony to shortcomings and failures. They often say things like, I always thought I was a misfit, but now I see that God has made me see things the way that I do. One time I preached a message on the gift of prophecy in our home church, and one hardly ever knows who all might listen to what we say if we post them online. But maybe 6 months later, I don't know, maybe 3 months later, a minister that we all know, well, many of us would know for sure, called me up, or maybe sent an email, and said essentially this. He said, thank you so much for that message. My wife and I have struggled for years with how to relate, and that message really helped us see ourselves. And we just so wish you'd come up to our church and preach this message or these messages, whichever he said. Well, to God be the glory. There are sometimes things that can be better understood and some things to help fill it out, and the Holy Spirit can lead us to growth in our giftedness. Quickly, biblical perceivers, John the Baptist, Anna the prophetess, Mary the mother of Jesus, Ananias, Hosea, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Jonah. We could go all of these places, but we'll look at the Baptist. In Luke chapter 3, the word of God came unto John in the wilderness, and he came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And many other things in his exhortation he preached to the people. I want to make a few comments here about the Baptist. He was a perceiver who identified evil. He sized up character, and he encouraged repentance. He was frank and outspoken, grieved over sin, and obedient to God. He spoke persuasively, dramatically, and with firm conviction. He saw no gray areas. He demanded fruit and promoted growth. He spoke of judgment coming through Christ, who shall baptize people with the Holy Ghost and with fire. A fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his floor, and he will gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Baptist was a biblical prophet. He identified Herod's sin and called for repentance, speaking with frankness, boldness, and uncompromising clarity. Aren't you glad that we have some people among us with the gifting of prophecy? And if you have the gift of prophecy, are you glad that you've received it from the Father? And are you sensitively exercising and remembering that not only do we promote God's will, but we also pray about it. We also exercise carefully our gifts of perception so that others don't feel like our eyes are just staring right through them.